don't know about you, but man, that was some powerful worship, huh? I got some stuff taken off of me as we were singing. So in case you haven't noticed, my husband is missing, along with all the other elders and their wives. They're all on vacation, actually, and Jody's down south in Mexico, and he's preaching the gospel down there and sitting in some elders in a church that we connect with and we partner with down there. So probably even now he's up talking or chatting or doing something in Mexico. So keep him in prayer and keep the Furloughs in prayer. They're off in Texas having a good old time with their family. And how many of you know it's okay to take vacations? How many of you know that God actually wants us to rest and that it is okay? Say, it's okay to rest. Southern California is a pretty busy place. I don't think I've ever been anywhere else as busy. I haven't been to New York yet. That's coming sometime in October. But I hear that that Southern California is probably one of the busiest places on earth. And there's a lot of us, right? And sometimes we can become anxious. But it's always okay to take time off. It's always okay to be in the presence of the Lord and just stop doing what you're doing and rest in the presence of God. Amen. I wanted to talk to you today about something simple. It's the topic of salvation. Recently, I've been having dreams about our church growing into the hundreds, multiple hundreds. And my latest dream, I walked into like an auditorium, and I realized I don't know anybody in this room. And I said to myself, but that's okay, and we're moving on to a second service in another building somewhere else. And so I just want you to know that, you know, the enemy doesn't like us very much. In fact, he hates us. And usually when I feel an opposition in the spirit, it's when I know that the church is moving forward and it's okay to have opposition, right? It's okay to have an enemy that doesn't like us. It's okay. That's part of the plan. That wasn't originally part of the plan, but that's what he does. He comes up against us, and it's okay to feel and to sense and to feel a little kind of combativeness and a, you know, kind of a pushback as we're moving forward and we're at taking ground. And so just to let you know that it's okay that you feel a little stretched at times, just know that in the invisible and in the things that are unseen, perhaps we're moving forward. Perhaps we're gaining ground. Perhaps we're growing. And whenever we move forward in Christ, whenever we move forward in the Lord, the opponent is always going to raise its head. I know Jody spoke a little bit about him almost dying last week. Did you hear about that? Yeah, he just was like, no big deal. Yeah, I just can't breathe. He got bit by ants. I'm sure he shared the story last week, but I'm going to tell it from my side of the story. And he's like, not a big deal, no big deal. I lived, I survived. And I'm like driving down the 605 freeway, 92 miles an hour, praying that a cop sees me so he can pull me over and call like where we live. And he was sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden, you just see him, like, hitting himself, right? He's just, like, hitting himself, and I'm like, dude, what's going on? You know, like, what's happening? And he's like, I think I'm getting eaten by ants. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, no big deal. You're like a big, you know, just as a woman, we think, ah, baby, you know, ants, no big deal. And then all of a sudden, I see him get up, and he's, like, kind of dancing himself off, and then he begins to itch, like, all over his body. So it moves from, like, just his arms, to his legs, you know, to his head, and even like on his face. So once he started itching on his face or scratching his head, I'm like, okay, something's up. Let me just go give you a Claritin, because that's all I had. So I give him a Claritin, he pops a Claritin. We wait a little while. Then he says, I think I'm going to go to emergency. But first, I need to take a shower. So I'm like, okay. So I rush to our truck, I get the truck on, and he takes a shower, and I'm like, dude, like, is this really an emergency? Like, is it all in his head? Like, what's happening? Well, he walks out of the house he's walking like this, right? And his face, I couldn't even recognize his face. His eyes were closed shut, looked like he had two, like, golf balls behind his sockets, right? And he's like, oh, my chest feels a little smoggy. I'm like, really? Or are you suffocating? Like, can you tell me, is it just foggy in your chest, or are you actually suffocating? And so, yeah, and so I'm like, you know what, I'm going to take you to the nearest hospital. He's like, no. I said, now I'm going to take you to Presbyterian Hospital. It's right down the road. He's like, no, take me to Long Beach. So I'm like, fine. So I'm like, driving down the highway, and it was like So I get to the doctors, and he's in the emergency room, and I'm just complaining. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining, but he was just telling this woman who's just like, just typing along, just really calm, and he's like, yeah, I feel itchy, I can't breathe. And he's like talking like this, because his throat is like, it's slowly shutting, and he's like talking like this, and he's giving her information. You can just tell like his body is just becoming tired. And so I kind of push him over, and I just answer all of her questions, and then immediately someone calls him in. We get into the room, about 5 doctors rush in that room as he's laying in that bed. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I don't know what's happening here, but immediately I think, this is a lie from the pit of hell, and I'm not going to freak out. But what I was really impressed by is that I actually felt emotion while he was in the room. Usually, I know that I'm growing, it's not about me, it's about what God's doing, but in this moment, I felt emotion and I wanted to cry. Usually, it doesn't come to like days later. So I'm like, wow, I'm actually feeling emotion. Okay, well, that's good. This is good. Woo, very good. And I'm rubbing his legs, and the doctor's coming in and putting, you know, pumping him up with steroids and all these other things. I'm just rubbing his legs. I'm okay, I feel like I want to cry. Okay, yeah. I feel like I'm going to drop right now to my knees and just cry to the Lord. But no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Just it's not now. Right now is not the right time, but good. I'm talking myself off the cliff. And you know what? Sometimes we come to these places in life where we reach these things, where we're like, at any moment, death is knocking at the door, or at any moment, something can change. But how many of you know that sometimes it just could be hype? Sometimes the enemy wants us to freak out, wants us to be anxious, wants us to lose our cool so that everything becomes chaos and we no longer focus on Jesus. This is how he works. And so we need to be aware of the enemy's tactics in our life. Restoration LA, God has called you to advance. Restoration LA, God has called you to move forward. Restoration LA, you have a call and a destiny in your life, and the enemy is trying to bring chaos and trying to bring distraction to you so that you would keep your eyes off of Jesus. This is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about building our house, building ourselves, building our life on the rock. So if you want to turn to your Bibles, go to chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 46. And I'll wait till you get there. No big deal. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And I'm going to begin. Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words but puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. The word complete is like final. It's done. There's no hope for it. It's done. This actual story that Jesus himself was talking about or shared is a picture of salvation. It's pictured of two men, one who built his house on the ground in the soil and one who built himself on the rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. So if you look at the man who built himself on the rock, Jesus, when the storms came, his house stood, as opposed to the men who didn't even want Jesus, technically the rock, built his house on soil, and when the stuff happened, it perished. Okay, so I just want to, before I get a little bit into it, I want to share with you, this is a picture of salvation with the man who has salvation versus the man without salvation. The man who doesn't know Jesus and doesn't have a personal relationship with Christ. Okay, so we want to start off with the rock. The rock is Jesus. The rock is the only thing that we need to be building our lives upon. The rock, who is Jesus, is the very God who came to earth to die for you and for me. He gave himself for all of us. This is who we put our trust in. This is who we put our life in, and this is who we build upon. If we don't build our life on Christ, when the torrents come and the rains and the waves begin to hit us and the fire becomes, we walk through the fire, we begin to melt, we begin to fall apart because we're not building ourselves on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if we were to dissect it just a little more, we would say, okay, let's pretend that the house is a part, not only us in our lives, but it's a part of our lives in a certain area. And I can honestly say everyone here may not focus or build this part of their life on Christ. So you can say, well, I go to church on Sundays, my marriage is good, I'm a good mom, I built those areas on Christ, and I'm strong in these areas. But what about all the other areas? Is Christ a foundation in every area in your life? Or just on Sunday mornings when you show up to church? And I'm not here to condemn you, I'm not here to judge you, but this is what the Lord asked me. Like, how deep is your foundation? How deep have you built your life in me? And I'm going to be honest with you. When I was fighting my battles before, I really had to ask myself that question. Have I built my life on Christ, the solid rock? And I'm going to say to you, not quite. And so this is why this is standing out to me. Because if you look at the beginning of the scripture in verse 46, it says, why do you call me Lord? Basically, why do you call me master or owner? That's what that word means. It means master or owner. Why do you call me this? Why do you give me the title of master and owner, but you don't listen to what I say? It's like having a boss and being hired. Not that we are hirelings, but to give you an understanding, to be hired by a boss, and then the boss asks you to, go speak to this person. And then you just turn the other way and you walk the other way. Can you go do this? And you just continue to ignore him. Like, is that really your boss? No, because when you say, this is my boss, you're saying, I am submitted to his authority. So Christ was basically saying of these two men, basically, how is it that you call me master or Lord, right? How is it that you give me this title, but you don't even listen to what I say? And so, it's a hard question for all of us. And so, I'm going to swallow hard because it's a hard question for me to swallow. I think we need to ponder that. I think we need to ponder whether or not we actually believe that Lord is the Lord of our life, that Jesus is the Lord of our life. I think we could complain and we can say, you know what, I don't know why this is not happening, I don't know why this is not happening, I don't know why this isn't happening, but the bottom line is, if you call Jesus Lord, then are you fully submitted? Have you laid down your life? Have you bowed down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and saying, Lord, in every area of my life, I bow my knee to you. You are the Lord of my marriage. You are the Lord of my parenting. You are the Lord of my job and my workplace. You are the Lord when I walk to the supermarket. You are the Lord when I'm in the restroom. You are the Lord when the kids are being put to bed and the computer's on. You are the Lord of my life wherever I go. You are the Lord of my life. So if you were to look at a person whose life is laid down to Jesus and Jesus is the Lord of their life, there should be some type of fruit and there should be some type of evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. Amen? So then he talks about digging deep. In verse 48, he says, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid foundation on the rock. I'm telling you, there's so many Christians out there who don't understand this concept. I think what we've done, and it talks about religious leaders of this. Jesus was constantly coming, butting heads and coming up against the religious leaders because they were doing things in men's ways versus God's ways. They were doing things in the thou shall not instead of thou shalt, okay? So we're talking about you have to do this, you have to do this. There's a checklist of what you have to do in order to be holy. And so some of us, nowadays, we have our checklist. Well, I came to church, I was nice to my mom, I made dinner for the kids, you know, and you check things out, and that makes you a good Christian. That makes you a good Christian. But how many of you know that's false? How many of you know what makes you a Christian is actually putting your life in Christ? And so it's required of us to dig deep. It's required of us not to just have this shallow relationship with Christ, but it's a desire from heaven. It's a desire from the Father himself for us to dig deep into his Son and to figure things out and to lay hold a strong and firm foundation. Where does that come from? What is our our firm foundation come from? It comes from our belief in who Christ is. It's who you say Christ is. If you say Christ is Lord of my life, then we have to behave and obey like if he's the Lord of our life. Amen? So how are you building your house? How are you building your life? That's a great question to ask. You know, I'm known for being kind of like in my mind. I try to figure things out on my own, and I shared this with you before. I'm like, I internalize everything, and my whole world is in my mind, right? So I people look at me like, oh, Vanessa, there you go again. You're thinking again. And I had a friend who said to me, stop thinking, because I'm thinking about something all the time. And I think there's a healthy portion of that. There's a healthy part of thinking and actually examining our lives and taking a tally of where we've been and how far we've come. I think that's a healthy way of living. I think it's okay to be sober-minded about who we are. I think it's okay that we can say, yes, you know what, Lord, you're right. I am not the perfect person in this. And you know what, Lord, I can never be perfect in this. So I know, Jesus Christ, that you're the perfect person, that you came and you died for my sins. And because of you, I'm made whole and I'm made righteous in your eyes. And I'm going to just forgive myself and I'm going to work on myself, but I'm going to move on. That's a healthy way of doing it, okay? We need to be, as people, be aware of our actions. We need to be aware of what we look like. Because how many of you know that we're a living testimony? When we walk this earth, we are actually walking out Jesus. When people see us, even when Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, we should be able to say that to people. Follow me as I follow Christ. Why? Because our foundation is dug deep in Christ, and no matter what happens, right? No matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, we should be able to be fruitful, and people should be able to see Jesus in every area of our life. I think I got off topic, but whatever. But how are you building your house? How are you building your life? What a great question to ask yourself. What acts in your life show we are building on Christ? Can you see the progress and growth? Can others tell your life is built on the foundation of Christ? I know I don't live my life for others, but it's cool to hear a friend say to me, hey, Vanessa, I've seen you grow. Because last time you would have behaved this way, and this time you didn't even behave that way. And so I say, ooh, I'm growing in Jesus. Hallelujah. I would have freaked out when Jody was in that hospital bed. I would have started, I don't know, crying or shutting down and just, you know, not even engaging. I remember just feeling, I need to engage. And I would never have said that to me a year ago or 2 years ago. Okay, so yes, I'm a human being just like you are. And it's okay to grow and it's okay to pat yourself on the back because Jesus is it. He's saying, yes, good for you. Come on, keep going. We're going, we're doing this together. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. Is your life built? Let's go to the other guy, the guy who built his life on the sand, who built his life in the soil. Okay, let's go there. Let's talk about this guy here. Verse 49. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and destruction was complete. I spoke about this a little bit a while ago. That same question is, where are we building our life? Where are we building? Are we building it on the rock, which is Jesus? Are we building it on soil? Now, what does soil represent? To me, I feel like there was a rock. When I looked into the scripture, there was like a rock, and then there was just the earth, right? What does the earth represent? What does the world represent? Prophetically, I'm thinking the world's ways, the world's functionings. Are we building our life in the pattern of the world? Or are we building our life in the pattern of the Lord? Are we building our life because we feel and we believe what others say? We believe what the world is saying. We believe what the president's saying. We believe what social media is saying. Are we building our life on the Word of God? I think sometimes we believe lies and we think we're strong, but the bottom line is, we're believing lies. And so we can say, I'm strong in this, and I'm strong in this, and you rah, 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 I'm strong in this. But the bottom line is, if you look at one's heart, if you look at your own heart, you're building on a lie, and so therefore it's false. It's like deceptive. You're not building on the proper thing. And so when the storms come, and we're like, why do I feel like the world is crumbling from underneath me? Well, maybe you believed a lie. Maybe we need to go back and check our belief system. Maybe we need to go back and say, what have I picked up or what have I believed that hasn't been from the Lord? Like, really, what is it? I had a time away with friends. We went away, and I went with two friends who aren't attached to the church, and I just felt a sense of relief not having responsibility. We went away for the weekend. Usually when I go away with some women, I have a responsibility. There's something that is required of me, and so we went away for 2 days, and my friend rented a house for us. She was very, very generous, and she rented a house for us, and I just felt the whole time the Lord from day one. We were there for about 3 days. From like Friday, the Lord was just in the presence in that house. And we sat there, and all of a sudden, I began to feel like this well of something kind of coming out of me, like God wants to deal with something in my heart. And so Saturday night was a very pivotal night. We actually sat in the presence of the Lord, and we began to pray for people. We began to pray for our husbands. We began to pray for our walk. We began to pray just with just organic, prayerful time. And you know what the Lord showed me? He showed me, forgive me for bringing up an old teacher for all my friends from back in the day. He brought up Mr. Anderson. And Mr. Anderson was a teacher. I'm praying he's saved, so I'm not holding any grudges against Mr. Anderson. I love the guy. I'm praying that he has Jesus in his heart now. But I was part of the after-school club for Mr. Anderson. Is he? Yeah. You're asking the question, is he still alive? I pray that he's still alive. I pray that he's living a healthy whole life. But I was part of Mr. Anderson's after-school club. Mr. Anderson was a crazy teacher. Mr. Anderson had high expectations, and I just couldn't reach those expectations, including with homework. And so I'm like, no, I only do work at school. I don't do homework at home. I work hard all day at school, and I come home, I want to rest. So I never did homework. So I was part of his after-school program. And Mr. Anderson would look at me and look at probably all of the students, but I felt like he was, like, gazing at me. And every day, or every Tuesday, it was like once or twice a week, you had to stay after school. I'm like, whatever, I can check that off. I did it, but I wouldn't do homework. I'm just like, I was rebellious, and I'm like, no, you're expecting too much of me, and I will not do it. And he would look at me and go like this. You know what that meant? That meant that I was going to be a hamburger flipper. And he would call all of his students who did not do work hamburger flippers. So I'm like, well, I'm going to be the best hamburger flipper, and I'm going to have my own business, and I'm going to be the best one who flips hamburgers. And I was just a rebellious little seventh grader, just like, oh, yeah, Mr. Anderson? Well, he would use this technique. He would say, Vanessa and the rest of the students, you will not succeed in life if you do not get a good education. If you don't get a good education, you're not going to get a good job. If you don't get a good job, you won't be able to live in a nice house. If you don't get a nice house and have money in the bank, you're not going to be able to travel the world. And it didn't dawn on me that I harbored like any issues with Mr. Anderson until we left to the Netherlands. And I was looking at this beautiful castle, and something just slipped out of my mouth. And I was like hugging my husband and looking at this castle, and I said, eat your heart out, Mr. Anderson, right? But I didn't even know that I harbored, like, resentment. So I'm like, oh, Lord in heaven, I need to forgive Mr. Anderson. So I didn't forgive him right on the spot. It took a little while to rub it in his, you know, invisible face. And but I went away, and in this weekend, the Lord said to me, you have the inability to dig deep in my word because you believe the lie of Mr. Anderson. You believe the lie that you are not capable of knowing or reading scripture and retaining it and memorizing it because you believe the lie of a teacher. And I want to release you of that pressure today, and I want to break that off of you today. And so I wept. I wept, and I cried. I moaned like a crazy woman. And my friend, who just happens to be a teacher, says to me, you are smart. And right when she said, you are smart, I'm like, ooh, crying. Mr. Anderson, it was just words, and it was a lie. And I'm like, oh, you know. And how many of you know, it's okay to get that done. It's okay if you scream and holler in the presence of the Lord. No one cares. Jesus cares because he wants you to get out of whatever you're in order to move forward. He wants to release you and take things off of you so that you no longer. So when you talk about liberty and freedom, you actually live in liberty and freedom. So he broke that off of me that weekend, and it was amazing to me. She said something to me that was true, and this is, I felt, was a word, and it wasn't scriptural, but it was actually the word of God, the Holy Spirit speaking directly to me. She said to me, because I have dyslexia, which I tell everybody I do, because if you have high expectations, I'll let you know. I have dyslexia. It'll take me a while to process. You may become agitated and angry with me. And so anyway, this teacher said to me, you know, Vanessa, you tried 10 times harder than everyone else, and you accomplished it. So I felt that was the word of the Lord. He focuses on effort. He focuses on heart. He focuses on putting our whole self in Christ. Because even in seventh grade, I put my whole self in Christ. Even in seventh grade, I'm like talking to people about Jesus. Believe it or not, I was in love with Jesus back in the day. And I think that he allowed this to happen so that I would be free from it, so that I would be able to free others. How many of you know that? When the torrents come, when the rains come, and the water rises, and the tests come, sometimes it has to do with God not only revealing his glory to us, but revealing himself in us, revealing the capabilities and the things that he already put in us so that we would be able to help others. I don't take loving God and loving others lightly. Those are the two commandments we need to follow in the New Testament, loving God and loving others. And sometimes we need to know the bigger picture. We need to know that when we set our feet on a firm foundation and we dig deep in Christ, that when those things come, we're not going to be shaken, right? It may hurt a little bit, but he will help us through that so that we could help others. Amen? So anyways, I'm released of this, going back to our weekend, and I am like, I feel better. I'm reading the word, and I'm like, ooh, I never saw that before, and ooh, wow, what is this? And wow, Lord, like, you're awesome, okay? And so I just wanted to encourage you that we need to examine our hearts. We need to go back and say, why do I behave the way I behave? Have I believed a lie? Have I built my mind or this one area or this belief or this whatever in soil? Or am I going to place this on the rock? And I'm telling you, sometimes the Lord wants to take our houses and the things that we built and demolish them and place them on the rock. And it's okay to do that. It's okay for God to break us down and to rebuild the truth in our lives. But how many of you know we can't do that unless we dig deep? How many of you know that unless we desire to spend time with the Lord and spend time with Christ, that nothing's going to be built properly until we actually make a commitment in our hearts to spend time with Christ? And not because we have to and for have to's sake, but because he loves us. Because he laid down his life for us. Because he has a plan and a purpose for us. And it isn't all about us. Because when you, I don't know about you, but when you're loved that much and you know that you've been given a second chance, you want to serve and you want to give, and you want to love because of the love that was given to you. Okay. So trials and testing are inevitable. How will you hold up when you face difficult seasons? We need to dig deep. I already talked about that. We need to build like strong men who know our identity is secure in Christ. And you know what? I think sometimes we freak out too soon, and we don't realize the actual protection that is covering us. We actually need to stop in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our storms, and say, you know what, Lord, show me the truth. This is what it looks like, but show me the truth. Mr. Anderson talks smack, but show me the truth. Jody's lying in the hospital, show me the truth. And so I think we need to actually stop, gain ground, and ask ourselves, what is the truth in this situation? The truth is you will always be protected. When we build ourselves and we dig deep in Christ, you will always be protected, and that is not a lie. That is the truth, and we need to believe it. What do you guys believe about Christ? What do you believe about the Lord? Faith and reward. If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11. Really, Vanessa? Do you ever have to, like, say all the books of the Bible in your head to reach it? Okay. That's me today. And there's no shame in that. I'm trying hard, right? That's all that matters. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I'm sorry. Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. And then go down to 11, verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes from God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Isn't that a wonderful promise, that he rewards those who seek him? I want to encourage you to seek him out. I want to encourage you to start talking to him wherever you are. To know that when you seek him, you're going to find him. It says when you knock at the door, it'll be open to you. But you know what it takes in order to take that first step? It takes faith. And faith is basically believing in the unseen, right? It's believing and being assured of what's hoped for in the future, or what's hoped for even now. I went to a Dodger game the other day, and I know most of you know that I battled with anxiety and depression in the past, and for some weird reason, at the Dodger games, I usually feel kind of anxious, maybe because it's like a huge crowd. And you know, I was going to go, and I was going to spend time with the church and spend time with my best friend, and I'm like, it's going to be a wonderful game, and then I'm on the freeway, and all of a sudden, I start to get like a little just kind of like anxiety, just anxiousness kind of creeping up. And I just began to pray. I've learned right away, you just start praying immediately, and you wait to hear the voice of the Lord, because he promised me that. He promised me that he will be there all the time, and that he hasn't left me, and that I can tap into him. I'm not going to interrupt him. There's nothing more that he wants than to connect with me. And so in this moment, I'm driving in the car, and Jody immediately felt it. He's like, what's wrong? I said, oh, no, nothing. He's like, no, what's wrong? I said, I'm just feeling a little anxious. Don't worry about it. I'm working on it. Like, chill out. Like, it's going to escalate real quick, or it'll dwindle down real quick. So I just begin to breathe, you know, all the stuff you learn at therapy, whatever. Yes, I went to therapy. There's no condemnation in that. And you just breathe. And I felt the Lord say to me, do you have faith? And I answered him immediately. I said, yes, I do have faith. In fact, I actually forfeited faith when I believed the lies of people in my life, and I actually forfeited. He actually gave me a pretty big measure of faith, and I actually forfeited that as I believed the lies of the enemy through people and through people of higher standing, meaning people of authority. And I said to him, yes, I do have faith. He's like, do you have faith that I'm going to take this away from you right now? And I said, yes. He said, show me. So I said, okay, and I just began to have a conversation with Jody. And immediately, it left. So in faith, he says, then I want you to act on it. If you say you have faith, I want to reward you. When you seek me out, I sought him out. He rewarded me with what? With removing the anxiety from my heart, right? So you have to know faith is part of building on the rock. When we take a step forward in seeking out Jesus and building on our relationship with Christ, he expects faith. Faith is something that he's been given to us. But faith without action is basically pointless, and I'll get to that scripture right now. When I was in the vehicle, I said to the Lord, yes, I have faith, and he says, show me, and so I turned to Jody, and how I did it in my own heart with God was like, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to purposely ignore the feelings and the anxiety that was coming up in me, and I'm going to ignore it, and I'm just going to begin a conversation with my husband to show the enemy and to show the Lord. Well, not the enemy and the Lord, you know what I mean? To show the enemy he doesn't have any power over me, but also to show the Lord that I actually trusted him. You know, trusting in the Lord is like, there's scriptures that say, don't put your trust in men, but put your trust in the Lord, okay? The word in is a very powerful word. So it's almost like, don't hand over. If I felt like I was going to bring a boulder today, but I couldn't carry it. So I'm going to give you my invisible boulder. It's like carrying a boulder of trust in your heart. It's a big, huge weight. And to give your trust to any person or any human being is a mistake. To give your trust, it says to put your trust in Christ, to put your trust in the Lord. It's a huge deal for God where you put your trust. Either you're going to put your trust in men's ways, your ways, whatever ways, or you're going to put your trust in God. Is actually giving over, handing over something. So when you say, Lord, I trust in you, it's like saying, Lord, I trust in you. It's bringing forth effort to put all of your trust in the God the Father, creator, the man who loves you, Jesus Christ, the Father who created you. You're putting everything in him and you're leaving it be. That's what trust is. That's a picture of a prophetic picture of what the Lord gave me. Because trust is heavy, and we can put our trust in men and whatever. It doesn't work that way. God wants us to put our trust in him, right? So putting our trust in him is a whole different beast. Focusing on faith, I'm going to go back on track. But faith with action is powerful in the Lord, to the Lord. Faith with action shows God that you trust him. Shows God that you're not going to put your trust in your own ideas and your own mindsets, but you're putting your trust in the Lord. James 2:14-26 reads, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" What a very strong statement. You believe that God is one, you dwell, the demons believe and shudder. You do well, let me read that one more time. You believe that God is one, you do well, but the demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, and this is what I love about when he starts to talk about just the people who have gone before and worked out in faith, meaning it was evident. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Faith without works is pointless. If you're building yourself in Christ, faith is something that we have to work out. We cannot live a faithless life, because then we're actually denying the power of God. We're actually denying the outworking of Christ in our lives. Faith without works is pointless. Faith causes us to live beyond ourselves. Faith actually is the thing that pulls us out of our comfort zone to step out into the water and believe that God is bigger and God can do bigger things with our lives. Faith with action is super powerful. Faith is actually saying that you believe in the Lord, but action means that you're actually working together with the Lord. Meaning, faith, I believe that God can do it, but when you put action to it, it's saying, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to be on board with what you have to say and what you're doing so that we can bring on whatever it is that he wants to accomplish. Faith with action is showing the Lord that you're going to work for him and that you're actually submitting your life to him. I think sometimes faith, we have faith all we want, but when it comes to action, it's when we start to shudder and we begin to get scared. And that's when fear comes. And fear, we just talked about fear. God has conquered fear. But fear is a tactic. Fear is what is used against us to keep us in place, to keep us from not moving forward, to keep us from not gaining ground and advancing the kingdom. Remember, our life isn't, when we bow to the Lord, it isn't because we're bowing for our own needs. We're bound because, if I bow to the King of Kings and the Lord, if I give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords my life, then I'm going to get what I want. That's not what that's saying. It's saying when you dig deep in the foundation of Christ, you're going to face storms. But I've given you a tool called faith, and faith with action is something powerful. Faith with action will actually keep your house standing firm on the Word of God and in Jesus Christ. Faith is the very thing that we need to advance and to move forward in our life. We have to know that if we have faith, that God wants us to act on it. God wants us and desires us to act on it. I don't know about you, but it's scary sometimes. It's super scary. I'm just letting you know. I want you to know that I'm a human being just like you are. And I was at the store one time, and I saw a lady who was sick. And I said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I know that you're highlighting her." And I started freaking out. And so I said, "Lord, if she's in this aisle again, then I will approach her." And then I saw her daughter, but I didn't see her. So I'm like, "Oh, maybe I'm just, you know, not hearing properly or whatever," which probably isn't true for all of us. But she ended up being like right behind me in the line. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm gonna confront her right now. I'm gonna tell her that, you know, and I'm gonna tell her whatever you want me to tell her." And then she moved from this line to the next line. And so I was like, "Whew, okay, maybe, you know, you go down the doubt, right? The doubting, maybe I didn't hear right, maybe blah, blah, blah." And then the Lord says to me, "I want you to tell her, I want you to pray for her because I want to strengthen her." And that's all he told me. And so I said, "Okay, Lord, when I got to the car, I will put my groceries away in the truck, and I'll wait right there like a weird woman for her to walk out of the store, and I'll go and I'll talk to her." And so I did that. She came out, and she just so happened to be two cars away from me. And she was with her young daughter, or her teenage daughter. And I said, this is when the faith with action comes in, right? So guess what I'm saying no to? I'm saying no to embarrassment. I'm saying no to what if I'm wrong. I'm pushing all of those things away just to say, "Lord, I trust in you. I put my trust in you. I have faith. And with my faith, I believe that it's because of her, because you want to minister to her. It has really nothing to do with me. And I'm going to obey you. And who cares? I will probably never see that woman ever again. And who cares what anyone thinks?" Right? You get the ganas. So you're like, "Ugh, ugh." So I'm walking over. I'm like, "You know what? I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm so sorry for interrupting your morning. I just have a word for you." And I'm like, "Gum, gum, 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 gum." And I just really feel that the Lord wants to strengthen you in your body. And do you mind if I pray for you?" And then she immediately grabbed my hands. She said, "Yes, sister, please pray for me." And I'm like, "Oh," you know, like. And then she's like, "And my son is in the car, and he has a bum leg, got an accident, and can you please pray for healing for him?" I'm like, "Dang, Lord, you want to go, like, you want me to pray for this guy now? Like, what? Like, what?" I'm like, "Okay, but, you know," and so what I did, I ended up praying for her just for strength, right? Because that's what he asked me to do, and I just prayed for exactly what he asked me to do. And I immediately felt strengthened with her. I think it was just, like, a wonderful moment. And her son was in the car, and her daughter, I prayed over her daughter. I prayed a blessing over her daughter. And you can tell she was battling cancer. And she was very tiny and fragile. And it was just one of those weird moments. But when I got into the car afterwards, I haven't felt so giddy in like quite some time. I know some of you just walk in faith all the time and walk in faith with works. But I'm like, "Oh my God." I start to giggle in my heart because I'm like, I just worked with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and I are in cahoots. Like, we're like, "Where else do you want to go, Lord? Like, who else do you want me to talk to? Like, use me," you know? And so anyways, when you walk in faith and you put works, you put actions to believing and trusting in the Lord and walking in faith, you're going to start to see results, okay? We have to believe that. It is not like us to be built in Christ and have our foundation in Christ and not walk in faith. It's like goes against our very nature if we're actually planted in Christ and built up in Christ. Okay, so, anyways, I hope you're encouraged by that because you know there's people in your spheres that need Jesus. There's people that God's even bringing to your memory right now that need Jesus, and it's going to take you having faith, trusting in the Lord, and putting into action, obeying, not only hearing the word but obeying the word. And walking out what God is asking you to do with all boldness. Like, seriously, I will laugh with you on a Sunday morning if you come, if you start to walk in faith, and I will be like, "Really, you did what?" And we'll laugh and giggle together because the enemy wants us to feel like shame. The enemy wants us to feel like, you don't hear God. You can't do that. Like, no, that's just you, right? But when we place our feet firmly on the rock and we dig deep, those things won't even bother us because there's a bigger thing at hand. There's a bigger vision and there's a bigger goal, and God is wanting to take back what was stolen from him. He wants to take back what the enemy took from the very beginning, and that's his people. He wants to be reconciled He wants to reconcile people to his Father in heaven. This is our job here on earth. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are called to hear the word of God, obey the word of God, and walk in faith. Because there's people out there that need salvation. There's people out there who need Jesus. And we are the vessels that carry Jesus. And it goes against our own supernatural nature, if that even makes sense, to be sons and daughters of the living God and not function and work in this earth that way. We need to build in ourselves the structure of withstanding the thoughts and the things that come our way every single day. God has a purpose for your life, ladies and gentlemen, and our purpose is to do the will of the Father, to do the work of the Father. And we cannot be so bogged down with our everyday lives that we're not looking above. We're not keeping our head up to see, what are you doing today, Lord? Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want to talk to? Who do you want to minister to? Like, you ever see, like, a beautiful woman, maybe a woman at Target, and she has 5 kids. Just saying. Just 5 kids. And you're like, oh my goodness, she is so beautiful and she's doing such a good job. You think that just came out of your heart? Like, seriously, what if God wants you to say that to that person? Go and encourage her. Like, you don't have to prophesy in tongues. You just go and you encourage the person. And maybe that'll open up the door to speak more about Jesus. Just give her encouragement, because who knows what is happening in the minds and life of others. Just remember, doubt kills faith. Doubt kills faith. It is like that. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware. There's a song. I'm going to end with this. There's a song that I loved growing up. It's a hymn. And the text and the words are from Edward Mote. And he lived, right? Yeah, from 1797 to 1874. And the music was actually from William B. Bradbury, from 1816 to 1868. And you guys, I don't know if you know the song, but it's called The Solid Rock. And it goes, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On cross the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On cross the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Let's close our eyes. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus, this Jesus that I'm talking about, and you want a personal relationship with him, you want to know him, you want to build your house and your life on this rock called Jesus, if that is you, and you want a relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you. So out of faith, I want you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you. I see your hands. Sweet, you can put it down. Anyone else want Jesus today? I see your hands. Sweet. So listen, I want all of us to pray this prayer out loud. Just because we're going to support our brothers and sisters, okay? Dear Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And you rose again on the third day. Forgive me of my sins. I want to build my life on the solid rock. I want to build my life on Jesus. Come into my heart to rule and reign. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. You could open up your eyes. Let's give. our brothers and sisters. Let's give God a hand. Listen, if you accepted Christ today, share with somebody. Share with somebody that you accepted the Lord and that you are free. Right? He conquered death, he conquered sin. And that's it. You're going to heaven. If you die today, you're going to heaven. That's the best part about it. There's an eternity. I didn't get to it today, but there's an eternity. We need to live our life for eternity. And ladies and gentlemen, we have a few more people in the kingdom of heaven. It says when one comes to the acknowledgement of Christ, when one comes, all heaven rejoices. So let's give the Lord a hand.